from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Caspick. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick. I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily 15-minute episodes. I should say approximately 15-minute episodes. We try to keep it that length, but sometimes we just cannot help ourselves. But these are Monday through Friday, every single weekday, episodes about the San Francisco Giants. And that analysis is data-driven and modern, but also insightful and easily digestible and easy for everyone to understand. You can subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. You can also find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Also, you can get in your car and tell your smart device to just play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Today is the home opener with the Giants very strangely playing the Tampa Bay Rays. And in the first segment of today's show, given that the Rays are in town, we are going to take a look at some very Rays-oriented things, starting with the opener and the fact that the Rays use it. Why do they use it? And maybe should the Giants be using it? And then in the second segment of the show, we're going to take a look at something that I've been wanting to talk about for a long time, and it's kind of this semi-myth that is out there that the Giants are only a pitching and defense team, and that's like how they've always done it, and that's like the only way they should do it and will continue to do it moving forward, and why I think that's a little bit of a myth. But first, of course, I want to talk about the upcoming game and the upcoming series against the Rays. And what the first thing that comes to mind with the Rays is that they are a low payroll team, and they have to innovate in order to stay competitive. And stay competitive they did last year with a team that a lot of people thought had no chance to compete last season. And there was a lot of criticism when they started some games with Sergio Romo against a right-handed heavy Angels lineup. I'm remembering on MLB Network, there was a lot of loud yelling about how it was a gimmick and how it was really just not a good thing to do and why would they be doing this. But the fact is, they did it all year to great effect and ended up winning 90 games when a lot of people had them as a team that was going to lose 100 games. So the Rays are not doing this to be gimmicky. They're doing it to try to compete with, you know, less money than everybody else. And the fact is, like, when they started doing it against the Anaheim Angels, which I'm still going to call them that, not Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, the reason they did it is because they had a left-handed quote-unquote starter that they planned to use that day. But the Angels have a very right-handed dominant lineup, especially at the top with Mike Trout and Justin Upton and Albert Pujols and Zach Cozart were all kind of crammed in the beginning of that lineup. And so Sergio Romo has always destroyed right-handed batting, which we talked at great length yesterday about platoons and why it's really important to pay attention to them in the modern game. And sure enough, it absolutely is. And that is 100% why the Rays were doing this, especially in that series. So what does he do? Romo comes in and strikes out the side in his first inning. And so it worked. And I do think that Rays fans had a great time last year watching their team because they were winning. I think that fans like to watch winning baseball. And so if the Giants were doing this, for example, and it was working and they were winning games, I think there would be a lot of converts on the idea. So to just dismiss it out of hand doesn't make any sense to me. And the Rays, again, were able to do it to great success. Some players on the Giants, I think Madison Bumgarner, you know, half joked about it to Bochy, saying he would like quit the team if Bochy used an opener in one of his starts. And then Jeff Samardzija was a little less joking when he said that he thought it was awful for the game. And he thought that the starting pitchers on the Rays are being disrespected, and where did their self-respect go by allowing this to happen? But specifically looking at Jeff Samardzija, guess what his earned run average is in the first inning of games in his entire career? He has an ERA in that inning of 5.16. He has allowed 118 runs in 206 first innings. His ERA in the rest of his innings, second through any extra innings, he has a 3.99 ERA. So to me, it's a selfish mindset to just flat out reject this out of hand because you have all this pride as a starting pitcher. I thought the point of all of this was to win games, but if there's evidence that it, you know, would help you win games and you're still against it, then to me that's selfish and you are hurting your team by doing that. And it should be noted that historically the first inning is the highest scoring inning in all of the innings in baseball. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the top of the order comes up in the first inning. And so if you have a tough top of the order, especially if they're lined up with one side, one-handedness of batter, and your pitcher is the opposite side, it makes a lot of sense to start a game with a reliever who has the platoon advantage over those guys who are going to be at the top of the order. So you can shut them down in that highest scoring inning, which is the first. And then you can bring in your quote-unquote starter later and have them go like six innings. And then you've covered seven innings. It's really no different than having a starter go six innings and then bringing in a reliever in the seventh. It's the same thing to bring in a reliever in the first and then have a starter go six. You've covered seven innings with the same two guys in both scenarios. And then the other thing it does is it prevents, when that starter gets into the late innings, it prevents them from facing that top of the lineup a third time. And there is strong evidence that in lots of cases, it's not always true, and definitely there should be an eye test, and if the guy is absolutely dominating and he's a really good pitcher, you might just want to leave him in there. But if you're someone who's not an ace-type pitcher, if you're like a Derek Holland or you're a Drew Pomeranz, it doesn't make a lot of sense to take the gamble of letting them go through a third time when there's so much evidence that performance declines dramatically the third time through the order, even if they're cruising along sometimes. Remember, to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can subscribe on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And remember, when you get in your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about the myth of the fact that a lot of people seem to think the Giants can only win and have only ever been a pitching and defense team. That's all coming up next, but first, we talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product, and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. So as I said, we're going to talk about the idea that the Giants have always been a pitching and defense team, and that's the only way they were able to win the championships that they won. That came to my mind when I was thinking about the fact that the Giants acquired Kevin Pillar, and immediately Bruce Bochy elects to put Pillar in center, even though there's some evidence that his defense is not the same as it once was. I'm not going to say I know for sure. I haven't really watched him much at all. Being in the AL East, I don't really know the status of his defense, but the fact that they displaced Steven Duggar and put him in right field, very promising young defender in Duggar getting pushed out for a veteran. So I think it was because the Giants now pretty clearly have some of the best outfield defense that they've had in a long time, with Gerardo Parra is out there today and Pillar in center and Duggar in right. And I think maybe the fact that Duggar is in right, it's possible they see right field as a more important field for the better defender at AT&T Park. That is a possibility because that gap is enormous and Duggar does have probably better speed and range than Pillar would be my guess at this point. But the fact is that the Giants really had underrated offense for the entire duration of kind of the golden years. And so we're looking at 2010 through 2016 as kind of the, I wouldn't call it sustained excellence, but the championship era in 2016 were counting because they did make the postseason. It's the same mistake that people make about, for example, the Colorado Rockies, saying they always have great hitting, but their pitching always struggles. That's just an illusion because they play in the most hitter-friendly ballpark on earth, pretty much, and their offensive numbers are going to be inflated even if they're bad offensive players. So you could put the worst offensive team in baseball in Coors Field, and they're not going to look like the worst offensive team in baseball in terms of the numbers that are not park adjusted. And so the Giants pitching kind of meets that same criteria where their numbers, there's even a case to be made that their numbers haven't looked like the best in the game, which they probably should based on that ballpark, especially if we're trying to say they have elite pitching. But for many seasons, they were kind of middle of the pack with pitching and their offense was really, really strong. And as an example of this, from 2010 through 2016, if you look at their park-adjusted offensive numbers, this is a stat we were talking about yesterday called Weighted Runs Created Plus, where league average is set to 100, and anything above or below 100 is that percent above or below average. For that entire span from 2010 through 2016, the Giants had the third best park-adjusted offense in all of the National League. And so that's just to say the Giants had the third best offensive group in all of the National League for that span. In that same span for the pitching, they were actually 10th in the National League in Fangraphs wins above replacement. And WAR is a good way to do it because WAR is taking into account the ballpark. From 2010 to 2016, the Giants did rank as the second best defensive team in the National League. But you can also look at some of those specific teams and say that they had some of the worst defensive players in MLB on some of those teams, like Michael Morse and Travis Ishikawa being your left fielder in a World Series winning team in 2014. That is a shockingly bad defensive left field, as well as to go with Angel Pagan being on that team. And he was one of the worst defensive center fielders in MLB, if not the worst. And then they had Denard Span in center field in 2016, and he was considered by things like defensive run saved and UZR to be possibly, arguably, the worst defensive center fielder in MLB. But I think the main point is that the offense was underrated during those championship years from 2010 through 2014. The weighted runs created plus being way up there each of those seasons and as a whole from 2010 to 2016 suggests that we were seriously underrating the Giants' offensive players. For a long time, they had above average offense at every single position on the field. And that is something that you cannot say about the current Giants roster. So I think we need to get rid of the notion that they're always good at pitching, kind of no matter what. I think this year, the starting pitching is kind of a concern and not very much a strength. If you think Madison Bumgarner, Jeff Samardzija, Derek Holland, Drew Pomeranz, and Derek Rodriguez is like one of the best starting pitching staffs in baseball, I would very much beg to differ with that. And of course, these guys are incredibly talented major leaguers. I'm not trying to be overly critical, but just comparing them to the rest of the league, I would say it's average at best. And the bullpen, I think, is one of the best in the National League, if not all of baseball. They definitely have some challengers in all of baseball, but they're one of the better bullpens in the National League for sure, in my mind. So that is all the time we have for today. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I hope that you enjoy the home opener whenever it gets underway. The Giants are apparently planning to play it no matter what, even if it means it will be delayed. Remember to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. You can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. I hope you liked this show and will consider leaving a review. We have daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, covering the San Francisco Giants in a way that's rational and data-driven, but also insightful and easily digestible and easy for everyone to understand. Can't wait to be with you again next week. We'll be back with an episode on Monday recapping the series against the Rays. I really look forward to it. Hope to see you then. And until then, we'll see you next time.